welcome back to Deploy, and I want to go ahead and apologize that I did not put an episode up week three of this month, but I was sick the previous week, and I had a lingering cough, so I was having trouble recording and not coughing, and it was just off and on, and it was just going to be a long night, and the kids wouldn't go to sleep either, so that was making it kind of difficult to record. They were running around upstairs, so you can kind of hear that in the recordings. So I decided to go ahead and wait and just post it on the fourth Monday of February, and of course I'll have another episode up and ready for the first Monday of March as well. So you'll get back-to-back weeks with episodes. But this episode is going to lead into the next episode. But this one is called Sold Out. And I've heard Isaiah Saldivar say, we need people who are sold out instead of sellouts. But I spelled it S-O-U-L-E-D. So are you sold out? And I'm going to start off by saying when we follow Jesus, there must be a change because we cannot follow Jesus and surrender to him if we don't surrender who we are. We must surrender who we are to who he is if we want to be like him. We can't be like him if we're still trying to be like us. We must give up our sinful desires and desire the things of God. If we are to follow God's will, we must give up our own selfish will. We tend to think that government gives us our rights. But God is the one who gives us our rights, not the right to sin. He does give us free will, but he does not give us permission to sin. He gives us grace, but grace is not a license to sin. Now, what is shameful? Sin. But the problem is, sin is the very thing that is celebrated now. Now, when we speak truth, it offends, because it offends our selfish, sinful desires. It offends who we are. We are attacked because we speak truth. Many are being silenced at the threat of being called names like bigot, or you could be canceled or censored. But these people who celebrate a sinful lifestyle are the bigots to a righteous and a lifestyle of holiness, the very thing they criticize Christians of doing. So we are not supposed to be hateful towards them, but I know many people have been hurt by Christians, unfortunately. We are supposed to hate what God hates, and that is sin. We are supposed to share the love of Jesus that calls people out of their sin so they can have a life in Christ and not of the world. But when you share this truth, be aware that you will be hated. In John 15, 18 through 21, it says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they keep my word, they will keep yours also. But all these things they will do to you for my name's sake, because they do not know him who sent me." Now, the reason people don't feel ashamed of their sin and they hate you for calling it out is because they live in pride and they celebrate it. They even have a flag for their sin. Of course, pride is the thing that Satan was removed from heaven for, and it is the thing that will keep many from going there. We have all heard the saying, pride comes before the fall, and that was true with Satan, and the fall eventually takes the followers of Satan to hell. And when I say followers of Satan, I mean anyone who doesn't follow Jesus. They may not know they are walking in the ways of the devil, but that's why they are so blissful in their sin, because of the ignorance of who they are following to hell. Too many people who say they give their lives to Christ don't want to give up their old life and therefore can't give their life to God. They're not sold out. Now, my son Declan, he's 3 years old. I have noticed if I try to give him something to eat or a new toy, and he has a toy in each hand, he will look at each hand and try to hold on to what's already there. He can't take what I'm trying to give him. He will try to hold what he has to his chest or free up his hand and take what I'm trying to give him. But no matter what, he always drops something. He can't hold all the things I'm trying to give him and what he already has. He can't enjoy what I'm trying to give him unless he lets go of what he was carrying when he came to me. We must keep each other accountable as Christians and to walk in holiness and not in sin. But there's a key part of this life that is left out: dropping what we came with. When we come to Christ, we can't keep holding on to what we came with. We can't come as we are and leave as we were. We have to come as we are and not leave the same. And that's where accountability comes in. Now, there is a misconception about accountability, and I covered this on a previous episode called The Breaches We Repair and the Breaches We Create. We think accountability is to keep us from not messing up, and we treat like not messing up is some type of good work. But what we really should be keeping ourselves accountable to each other is with this: are you doing what God called you to do? If we aren't preaching the gospel, if we aren't sold out and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, we should be held accountable for that as well, right? If we are really doing life together, we need to keep each other accountable. If we are neglecting to be the mouthpiece of God and to be the hands and feet of Jesus, yes, we need to repent of open or secret sin in our lives that conforms to the world. But there is another repentance that I don't hear anybody preaching about, really. And that's the disobedience of spreading the gospel of the cross to the lost and the taking of territory of demons who have been living freely and unchallenged in cities and towns and schools and governments, families and individual people, and they're tormenting them. We need to cast them out. Now, they have the power because we've given it to them, but they don't have the power over the blood and the name of Jesus. If we submit to God by being held accountable to what he has called us to do, then the devil and his minions must flee. But they won't flee if you are not walking in that authority that Jesus made available to us by first submitting to him. If I was still in the army and we lived by the current accountability standards, it would be like just telling each other to not point our weapons at each other. Yes, that's important. Duh. We don't want fratricide, which is friendly fire. But if we just stayed on base every day, not pointing our weapons at each other and keeping each other accountable that way, we wouldn't be outside the wire. We wouldn't be on the battlefield utilizing those weapons to engage the enemy to free the oppressed. We must keep each other in the fight, or otherwise we might as well surrender those weapons to the enemy since we are not using them. The enemy has you right where he wants you because the enemy doesn't want you to fight for the oppressed or for the territory that he has taken or we've given him. He doesn't want us to fight for the commission that was given by Christ to go and make disciples. Now, it's hard to make disciples if you can't be an example to those following you, if you don't utilize the very things you were supposed to be training them in. And you can see that in James: don't be hearers of the word only, but be doers of the word. And we can either keep talking about the Great Commission, or we can walk out the Great Commission, because without action, we are just narrating good news instead of stepping out as part of that good news. Like, look what God has done in my life. That's what the whole point of a testimony is. And I heard Pastor Vlad say this when talking about prayer: prayer starts with a decision that turns into a discipline that turns into a delight. Now, this principle that Pastor Vlad shares can be applied to much in the Christian life. Sharing the gospel of Jesus is one of those things. You become more bold the more you do it. Now, the devil doesn't care if you go to church, sing songs, and even dance around and listen to a great message, as long as what you have been fed doesn't leave the church. If you remember the feeding of the 5,000 in Scripture, most everyone I hear speak on that story gets it all wrong or gets tunnel vision on one part of that story. They say it was about the sacrifice of the kid that gave up what he had. And some say it's about Jesus feeding the people. And some say it's about Jesus performing the miracle. So let's study that scripture really quick. So did the boy give up what he had to Jesus? Yes, he did. Did Jesus bless the food? Yes. Did Jesus feed the multitude? Yes, but not with the food. He fed them with the word. But the disciples were the ones who were told to feed the people after Jesus blessed it. The miracle happened through the disciples. In Matthew 14, 19 through 20, it says, "Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down on the grass, and he took the five loaves and the two fish, And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So they ate and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and remained. And in Mark 6, Luke 9, John 6, we see the same story. Jesus gave them the food, and the disciples fed the people. And Jesus even told Peter after his resurrection, if you love me, feed my sheep. That can be applied to us. That doesn't mean only Peter was supposed to feed the sheep. Listen, even though you have the bread of life and people say they want the truth, when they are presented with it, they will be angry when given what they were asking for because they don't like the taste of the thing they were claiming to want because they don't want to give up their trash for nourishment. Like I was talking about Declan. Clearly, I am giving him something better than he currently has, but he would rather fumble everything because he isn't willing to give up what he already has. In Matthew 16, 26, it says, for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, people say they want truth, but what they really want is the world because the world tells them anything and everything they want to hear, as long as it goes against God, because the world wants to be their God. Now let's go backwards onto Matthew 16, 25. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Not for your sake, but for Jesus' sake. That is when you become free, when you give up yourself. And when you taste and see, you will be sold out. We need to be sold out, S-O-L-D, but we need the heart of someone who is sold out, S-O-U-L-E-D. As I mentioned earlier, like Isaiah Saldivar says, we don't need sellouts. We need people who are sold out. So don't sell out to the world. James 4:4 says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. These people think that God is love, and they're right, but love does not affirm a sinful lifestyle. It exposes it so that whoever is in sin can come out of it and walk with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, for you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Don't give up your freedom in Christ for bondage to the world. Don't make peace treaties with the world. I even have a shirt that I designed that says no treaty. And it has like a little treaty that says conform on it. So don't compromise. Do not give place to the enemy. Don't give territory to the enemy. Fight for those souls that are on their way to hell. Fish them out. Jesus calls us to be fishers of mankind. Charles Spurgeon said, it is the whole job of the whole church to preach the whole gospel to the whole world. So we don't wait for someone to tell us that we're ready to tell people about Jesus and what he did for you. You have a testimony, so go out and share the whole gospel with the whole world. And I'll end with this. The world, which is the kingdom of darkness and demons, are winning souls all the time, every day. They don't take days off. They don't only do it once a week like we do at church most weeks. So if they're winning souls, why won't we? Being compassionate does not mean you stop standing for truth. And the truth calls people to true love, the love that calls people out of their sin. It calls people out of hell. Now, it's uncomfortable, and that's why we are hated and rejected, because it goes against their selfish desires. But love closes the divide between us and God. And since you get closer to God, you inherently become farther away from the world. If you're walking towards something, it means you're walking away from something. If being a child of God, a friend of God, makes me an enemy of the world, well, I think it's time to plunder the enemy's camp for souls so they can know the Christ and follow him instead of the world. And we're going to continue this sort of topic about being, are you an enemy of the world or are you an enemy of God next week when I put out the next deploy episode. But I hope to see you all on the battlefield fighting the good fight and winning souls. In our Christian life, we must abandon passivity if we want to fulfill the great commission that Jesus gave us. But much of the church believes that we are stuck on this earth with Satan, and they have raised their white flag of defeat to him. But if we would wave our white flag to Jesus, it would become a white flag of victory. And then we would realize that we are not stuck on this earth with Satan, but he is stuck on this earth with us, the army of God. In my book, White Flag of Victory, I discuss my time in combat and the parallels between warfare in the military and the warfare in the Christian life. If you'd like to add this to your library, you can find it on Amazon and the link in the description below. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ and are ready to come to God, I would like to lead you in a prayer in just a moment. But first, I want to be clear. Praying a sinner's prayer is not a ticket into heaven. These are not magic words. You must follow Christ and live for him. You cannot receive salvation by your own merits, but by what Jesus has already done. Ask to receive the Holy Spirit, to be filled and experience what God has for you. You will not live the same life or be able to keep Jesus to yourself if you become a Christ follower. 1 John 2:4 tells us that the one who says, "I have come to know him," and does not keep his commandments is a liar. Those commandments are to love God and to love others. If you love God, you will follow him, and if you truly love others, you will want others to experience God and give their lives to him as well. So if you are ready to pray, pray this. God, I ask for forgiveness. I believe Jesus died for me, and nothing I have done wrong is too great for the power of his blood that was shed for me. I am ready to forsake the world and live a changed life because I realize how much you love me. I love you, and I'm ready to live for you. If you made the decision to surrender your life to God and follow Jesus, I encourage you to spend time daily with him in prayer and reading his word and worshiping him for who he is. Much will be revealed to you in this time with him. Be a part of a community of believers to grow in the fullness of God and his word, and join a church that does the same. Get involved and stay accountable to each other. Also, please let me know that you made this decision by emailing me at charliemike.me@gmail.com. Or message me on Facebook at facebook.com/charliemikeinternational.